15th and 16th chapter. Glory to you, Lord. Jesus said, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. You are also to testify, because you have been with me from the beginning. I did not say these things to you from the beginning, because I was with you, but now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you ask me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, and you will see me no longer. About judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot hear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into the truth, into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
You may be seated. First, a big thank you to Blake, who, when the conversation came up about reading, wanting to read today, I said, "You may want to rethink that." Because this is like the passage, that first reading, where everybody gets tripped up. And the response is, "No, you're fine. Good job, Blake. Good job." Grace, peace, and mercy are yours, from the triune God. Amen. Have you ever wondered why some churches have American flags in their sanctuary? You understand flag protocol, and flags being placed in a corner, you know it doesn't really match. The short answer to this difficult conversation is language and fear. Language is an interesting thing. If you understand the common language that you are in, you're just fine. I've heard a number of people say over the years, usually in frustration, if you're in America, you speak our language. You will speak English. As someone of German, Norwegian, and Welsh heritage, I will guarantee that my German and Norwegian ancestors who came to this country didn't speak English. Even after coming here, I know from my mother that her grandmother came from Norway, and when she died, still had very, very limited words in English. There is fear in some people when others speak and they don't understand what's being said. So I attended a worship service in China, a place of great suspicion. And any churches, whether they are Christian or Muslim or Jewish or any religion, are legally bound when they must meet in an open public space. They can't meet in individuals' homes. And services can only be led in Mandarin. The Chinese government is so concerned the anti-government propaganda will be sped up so it's only Mandarin, so that the government can be reported to if a church is speaking about the government in worship. But it's not only China. It's common all around the world. It can be seen in this country as well. When settlers began to move west over this country, as they began to settle in a territory that was free, which we know it wasn't, Native children were rounded up, and they were sent to boarding facilities. We find a pretty way of saying it. Children as young as 3 and 4 years old were taken from their homes. They were sent to these places and were forced to assimilate to the colonial culture, including forcing them to speak English and never speak their native tongue. And sorry, this is going to get graphic, but it's the truth. These little children, if they were caught speaking their native tongue, their tribal language would be punished by having up to each individual digit of their finger cut off every time they spoke their native language. Think of 3 to 4 year olds, how hard it would be for them not to understand. If you can't understand them, you can't trust them. During World War II, people of Japanese descent and others who spoke Japanese were sent to internment camps here in the United States. If you can't understand them, you can't trust them. The migration of, in the 40s and 50s, of people from Puerto Rico to the mainland, those who were unable to understand Spanish, they were on the edge. If you can't understand them, you can't trust them. During World War I, many of our congregations worshiped using their native tongue. This congregation, I can almost guarantee, would have led worship in Norwegian, because it was the only language they knew. It was the only language they had ever worshiped in. And suddenly, lack of trust came into the churches. I've heard stories about German congregations during World War I who were watched very closely. And people within those churches were on edge, because it was believed that they could possibly be planning things against our country, and therefore we can't trust them. If you can't understand them, you can't trust them. Non-English speaking congregations were under suspicion, and it began to go out that they were un-American. The only way for people to believe that they weren't against our country is to replace any flag they might have in their sanctuary, or if they have no flag, to raise an American flag. Fear and language. So all of this was in my head as I read our Pentecost story. People all over the world were coming together in Jerusalem to celebrate this time of Thanksgiving. People were coming with their own languages and not understanding the person standing next to them. Can you hear that jumble of languages swirling around? The beauty in all of those native tongues? And the Holy Spirit arrived and things changed, because let's be honest, things happen when the Holy Spirit is loose in the world. Multiple languages were being spoken, and yet they couldn't understand each other. Sure, there were those who didn't understand and they didn't trust. I'm sure there were many onlookers who were uncomfortable with what was happening. I will guarantee the Roman military was hot on high alert, because if you can't understand them, you can't trust them, right? Other languages threaten our safety, right? Those who didn't understand, our text doesn't say that they laughed about it. They made jokes about it. No, they sneered and said they are drunk because they're trying to understand because they don't know the language. These people are on alert. They are not about to get in the middle of this gathering because of all of these outsiders. You can't understand, you can't trust them because you can't understand what they are saying. So how did these people speaking so many languages, how were they able to understand each other? Because it doesn't say that these languages magically became a universal language, but they continued to speak in their language, and yet they were understood. How did they manage to trust each other? I don't know, but I can imagine. Amor, I, Liba, Agape, many ways of saying love. I don't understand what God does or how God works. I don't understand what God's love really looks like, but I am grateful that God does and God is. People continually struggle to understand each other because we don't always speak the same language. And we definitely don't always understand or speak God's language. But when God's people come together, human language is pushed aside, or should I say it should be pushed aside. God's language is greater than we can imagine. God's language is greater than any country's official language. I imagine what this country could have been if God's language spoke louder when Native children were being ripped from their parents' arms and sent away. Or if God's language would have been louder when non-English speaking congregations felt forced to place flags in their worship space to feel safe. Or if God's language could be heard as immigrants try to navigate our country today. God's language of love and mercy and forgiveness is crying out in the world. And we just need to be quiet long enough so that we can hear it and to follow it and to learn it ourselves so that we can teach others this language of hope and peace and faith and love. Allah, Tibuka.